Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 2 Timothy 2, verses 2 through 4. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound the doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
You know, dear friend,
some sermons reprove, some rebuke, some exhort, some include some of all three. Some lessons are more applicable to one than to another. And some lessons are well received and some are rejected. Some are rejected even in anger. Experience as well as Scripture forewarns those who preach that his hearers can be friendly or they can be hostile. Regardless of all of that, he must preach the word. Proverbs 28:23, he that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Now, no sermon is ever chosen or preached just to offend. But the truth will offend those who are set against it. When people hear what they do not like or what contradicts what they say and do, sometimes they grow angry. Some just ignore the sermon. Some will say they will agree with it but continue to live contrary to it. But some complain about lessons on attendance at worship. We're told we need more spiritual food, answers to our problems. We need comfort. We need encouragement. How to deal with day-to-day stress and the strain of Christian living. Well, who could object to that? All of this is true. It is because this is true that we need lessons on faithfulness and attendance to worship and study periods. This is where the spiritual food is served. This is where the answers are offered. This is where the comfort and the encouragement is given. If we will listen to sermons with the attitude of Samuel, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," we will profit from such lessons on the necessity of attendance at every worship service. Over the years, we have determined that only 80% or less of the members of the congregation will attend some service during the course of a week. And it's not the same 80% each week, of course. But this means that 20% of the members will not be in attendance at any service during the week. Now, this takes into account the sick and those who are away from home, which is all too frequent for some. Only 2/3 of the members of a congregation are present at their home congregation on a given Sunday. About 50% do not attend a Bible study. 2/3 of the members are absent at midweek service, and just about the same on Sunday evening, sometimes even less. So whether you consider it important or not, the fact remains that many members have never learned, have never respected, or just do not care about their responsibility concerning attendance at every service. Now, God expects worship from his people. John 4:23-24, Matthew 4:4. Worship was a part of the Old Testament life as well as the New. Paul attended the worship, Acts 20:7. The early brethren were steadfast in it, Acts 2:42. The Jewish Christians worshipped, Philippians 3:3. Worship is what we do at every service. We sing, we pray, we study. On Lord's Day, we also eat the Lord's Supper and give of our means. Well, does this matter? Can we exclude it? It is evident that attendance was a problem in the early church, Hebrews 10:25. Some had the custom of being absent. The person who refuses to attend worship is refusing to worship as he ought. Not only is his absence a mark against him, but his attitude toward worship of God with his brethren compounds his spiritual problem. The true and loyal Christian desires to worship God. We are to worship in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. Can one worship in proper spirit if he wishes he did not have to be present? True Christians never seek to avoid worshiping God. They seek the opportunity, and they look forward to it. Worship is a privilege, as well as a duty. True and loyal Christians never have the attitude, "Do I have to attend?" It is obvious that some even plan to be absent. It is not that they cannot be present, but they plan to be absent by planning to do something else at the very hour designated for worship. They plan weekend trips without consideration of worship. They plan vacations and outings and visits and rest and recreation, entertaining of guests, making money, all sorts of things that conflict with worship. Even athletic events and school programs have been given first place before worship of God. Now, we're aware that sometimes conflicts arise, and with a little thought and planning, the conflict often can be resolved. I recall one year when the public high school scheduled graduation exercises that conflicted with the worship services of the church, and some members were involved in both. Well, the elders were very considerate, and they scheduled the services at a different hour so both events could be attended by those involved in them. But wouldn't you know it, the very ones for whom the change was made to assist them ignored the worship altogether. Now, if that's not a mark of putting lesser things first, there's not a Jew in Jerusalem. In the words of James, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Yes, we could do better than that, if effort was made. We ought to be present for the sake of a good example. No man lives to himself, Romans 14 and verse 7. We all have and we all shall give an account for our influence. We ought to give up whatever we have to give up in order to be a good example, Romans 14, 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Deliberate absenteeism is sinful, friend. Attendance is a good example. To him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4 and verse 17. Can anyone really question that deliberate absenteeism is a bad example for outsiders as well as insiders to observe? What do you think Jesus would plan to do on Sunday evening? Where do you think Jesus would plan to be at Bible study hour? Do you think he would ignore the midweek services? Are we not to walk as he walked and follow his steps? Little wonder many young people do not respect the church and the worship services their parents and others have taught them by example to do whatever you want, even if it means missing the worship services. At the hour of every worship service, we're saying to our brethren and to our lost associates and to God one of two things. It is either, "I care and I want to worship," or, "I don't care and I won't worship." Only if you are physically unable to be present do we have reason to be absent. Christ is going to be present at every service. In Matthew 18 and verse 20, he said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Tell me you do not care about that. We often make special efforts to be in the presence of this world's notables when we can. But what of being with the Son of God, the one who lived and died to save you from hell? I was in a meeting in northern Alabama one year. It was during electioneering time. One prominent candidate was speaking in a nearby city one night of the meeting. And where do you think many were? Including some elders and deacons. Yes, they went to hear their candidate for election rather than support the gospel meeting. Well, you can be sure they heard about that before the meeting was over. And as I recall now, for some reason I never was invited to go back there for another gospel meeting. Do you wonder why? But can you imagine such as that? Is that the strength of the kingdom of God? When we come, we're offered the opportunity to feed upon the truth and to learn what God wants of us so we can be pleasing to him and to bring glory to his name. Does that make any difference? Yes, it does. But does that make any difference to you? Failure to know the word is at the root of many who fall away. Failure to love the Word is at the heart of apostasy. Paul taught the Word of God to the Thessalonians, and he said, "He therefore that despiseth, and despiseth not man but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 8. It is not just men who are offended, but God is displeased at absenteeism due to disrespect for his Word. Faithful attendance by members help the church to grow. Loyalty is an essential ingredient in growth. How can we expect others to care when we leave the impression that we do not? Financial ability of the church to do the work God wants done is reflected in faithful attendance and the contribution. Too many leave everything up to somebody else and assume they have no responsibility at all. Well, they're sadly mistaken, and their heart is confused, but everyone suffers because of it. No church can fill its mission when members are haphazard about attendance at worship. Now, these truths are really beyond the realm of debate. Yet, many seem to reject them. Not many will come out loud and say they reject them, but they reject them just the same by what they do or what they do not do. But if you ignore such teaching as I have brought to your attention in this lesson, you're in for one more hard time trying to justify your position before man or God. And so, my dear listening friend, resolve, here and now, to be faithful from this day forward to all the services of the church. And we must leave it with each one to decide who will benefit the most. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.